Again, I trust that I'll have an interest in your prayers this evening, and I trust that the Lord will not only bless me to preach and you to hear. Likewise, it's always been a blessing for me to be in the presence of your good pastor, Elder Lawrence. Not only him, Brother Stanlin, and I've known him and his family and been in his father's home on numbers of occasions, and Brother David Crawford, I spent many hours with his family over the years, and it's always a blessing to be with these men of God, and I pray for them in a special way, not only them, but all of you that are here tonight. I trust that the Lord will bless you all in a special way. I call your attention tonight to the third chapter of the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The book of Colossians is what is known, historically speaking, as a prison epistle. It was written to the church at Colossae by the apostle during a time when he was incarcerated in Rome in prison for preaching the gospel in that place. The apostle begins this particular book by giving his authority as an apostle. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And it's necessary that you understand that his authority did not come by some choice that he made, but he was an apostle or a servant by the will of God. But also he makes salutation to those whom he addressed here, and he says to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ. So there's not any doubt in our mind to whom this letter is addressed. It is not addressed to the dead alien sinner. It is not addressed to that man that is void of the grace of God, but it is addressed by a servant of God, by the will of God, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. And then he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how this is structured. Grace be unto you and peace. Let me just say this, lest I forget it. Except there first be grace, there will never be peace. Amen. Paul had given thanks for these particular people in a special sense because of their faith in Christ Jesus and the love that they had to the people of God. And he goes through all of that and through the many particular doctrinal points that he makes, he talks to them here and speaks of the peace that came through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and that great reconciliation that was made. But then he comes to our text and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, you know, that's quite a far cry from what you hear from the Arminian camp. They tell you to seek and you'll be raised up. The scripture turns that around. And in the right manner, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, there are many people in the religious world, and I don't say this to cast a reflection on them, but this is just the fact that they will tell you in no uncertain terms that it's necessary that we seek God, and I certainly don't have a problem with that. You know, the Bible teaches me in Isaiah 55 to seek ye the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he's near. But my friends, I want you to understand tonight that there is a class of people in this world that will not seek after God. You know, Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Now, the Arminian can say what he pleases, but here is a statement by the psalmist that says, he will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. This morning I talked about, to some degree, the third chapter of the Roman letter and the description of the man by nature. Romans chapter 3 tells us in those indictments that the man in nature, and he gives that description of him, the Bible says that he will not seek after God. So this gives us a great insight into the text that the apostle preaches here. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." Now Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 21, somebody said, "I like red writing." Well, here's some of it, okay? And he says, "As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so," that is, "in like manner, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." So Paul is talking here about a raising up, a raising from a state of death in sin to a life and standing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection," in the singular, not affections now, "but set your affection," that is, the innermost part of your gracely desire, "set your affection on things above." Now I'm going to tell you something, brethren, that's easy to preach and hard to live, amen? But the commandment is to those who are risen with Christ to set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Now I'll tell you, I'll be just as plain as I can. I want you to understand, I have a problem sometimes with setting my affection on the wrong thing. I have a problem sometimes with getting out of focus. I have a problem sometimes when I get in a little bit of a disagreement with some of my brethren about something. You know, somebody said one time, "Living with the saints above, oh Lord, that will be glory. Living with the saints on earth, Lord, that's another story." Amen. Amen. That's a good point if I made it. All right. And because of that, there are times that our affections are drawn away. We draw back in certain ways. But the Bible tells us here, as we set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth, there's a reason for that. Why? Because you are dead. You're dead. And what? And your life is hid with Christ in God. What a statement. I wished I'd have said that. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Brother Stanley talked about some folks this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, and listen now to the terminology of this text when Paul began to preach here to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "And you hath he quickened," or imparted life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And then he tells them what they were in times past, "wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world," that word "according" means in agreement with the course of this world, "in agreement with the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh," Notice now, the Spirit wasn't working in children that were obeying, but the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom, that means the speakers included now, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now I hope you can see the state that Paul preached about the natural man. So there must be a raising up. There must be a dying to one thing and a being made alive to another thing. I remember one time when the great apostle with letters of authority was commissioned to bind the saints and cast them into prison. But you know, the apostle Paul, as he went on his way to do that which he thought he was commissioned to do in a great and mighty way, let me tell you, the Lord arrested that man. And I'll tell you, there wasn't a preacher there with a tract. There wasn't anybody there doing St. Paul, now you do the best you can and you come down here and get paid through and prayed through. No, that wasn't it. But the Lord arrested that man on the road to Damascus. And at the same time, the Lord was dealing with Saul of Tarsus. He was dealing with an old Baptist preacher by the name of Ananias. He said, now Ananias, you go to a street called Straight in the house of Judas and inquire for one named Saul. Behold, he prayeth. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard about this fellow. He's made havoc out of the church. I know what he's done. I mean, I know firsthand. You know what the Lord told him? He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. A chosen vessel unto me. And I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'll tell you that there, I've had some of my own brethren try to tell me that all Paul got right there was a conversion to the truth. Well, now, you may believe that, but I don't. I believe Paul, he was converted to the truth, all right, but I believe he is born to the Spirit right there. Right there at that particular place. And as God dealt with him that way, your experience may not be that way. I know I've never had that kind of experience, but I want you to understand this. The same life-giving voice that it took to regenerate Paul, it takes that same voice to born you again of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, sir. There is an obedience that is above and beyond the power of man to perform. Now, somebody told me one time, Brother Ricky, I love you old Baptists, but there's only one thing I've got against you all. And I said, what's that? They said, we don't believe that God will violate your free will. That is, that God is a gentleman. He will not save you against your will. I want to tell you something, brother. Every sinner that's ever been saved was saved against his will. Yes, sir. Now, immediately somebody will say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't believe that God is going to drag a man off to heaven kicking and screaming whether he wants to go or not. We don't believe that either. But we do believe that God makes him a willing character in the day of his power. Yes, sir. There is an obedience that is above and beyond the ability of the sinner to perform. Now, in the book of Mark, go with me to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, the Bible tells us, beginning with verse 35, and the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, that is his disciples, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And the Bible says there arose a great storm. Now, this particular writing here is the only time that it is mentioned just this way in the Bible. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, these men were no strangers to storms. They were seafaring men. But evidently, this was such a violent storm they had never had this kind of experience before. And he, that is Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You know, I like that. You know, I came up here to spend the night, but I forgot my pillow, Brother Ron. I got old enough, I used to carry mine with me, together with my pain pills and all that kind of thing, you know. But I usually carry my pillow. Somebody said, did Jesus need a pillow? I don't know whether they needed one or not, but the Bible says he is asleep on a pillow. Let's just let it say what it says, all right? He was asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, get this now, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, my friends, how many storms have you ever been through? And you've come to the point in your life that it looks like the Lord is clean gone forever. And a storm has come in your life that is of such magnitude that you don't know where to turn. And all of a sudden you come to the point in life and you say, Lord, carest thou not that I perish? Well, this was the state of these particular disciples. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, verse 37 says there was a great storm. Verse 39 says there was a great calm. Let me tell you something, friends. You'll never know much about the calm until you've come through the storm. Amen. And when you come through the storm and then there's a great calm, I'll tell you then you can see the very evidence of the power, the sovereignty, and the grace of Almighty God. Thank God, here is the very essence of it right here. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You know, I think that if I could have been with the Lord all that time and see him do the miracles that he did, I think that I said it one time and I'll say it again, I believe I'd have charged hell with a water pistol if he'd have told me to. You know, I believe I could have done that with that kind of faith. But I want to tell you something. These folks here were so afraid and Jesus rebuked them. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The Bible says they feared exceedingly and said to one another, listen now, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, our Arminian friend will say that if we will give the consent of our will to a fact, that is the obedience that God requires. Did the wind and the sea have to give the consent of their will in order for the voice of God to be effective? No, sir. The voice of Jesus Christ was effective, and here was an obedience that was above and beyond what they had ever seen. And I'll tell you today, my friend, when God Almighty speaks to a dead alien sinner, he obeys. He doesn't obey from the standpoint that he gives the consent of his will, but I tell you this, he obeys from the standpoint that when God speaks, his word does its job. Amen. Yes, sir. Now, I love the gospel. I love to preach the gospel. When the Lord blesses me, I love to hear these men preach the gospel. But I want to tell you one thing, my friend. The gospel is good for what God gave it for, but the gospel cannot give life. Amen? Amen. The gospel is the testimony. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. You see, the gospel was this testimony of Christ. It is the testimony that Jesus Christ died, rose, and revived. And that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. All right, oh preacher, that says he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You know what? I want to tell you right now, everyone that Christ speaks to, everyone that the Holy Ghost speaks to, everyone that God has chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, when he speaks, they obey. Amen. They don't say, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. They don't say, Lord, I'm just not ready yet. But he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. You see what that tells me? That tells me that there is an obedience that we are passive in. That we are passive in that obedience. We obey at the command of God that man obeys, that he is drawn, you see. John chapter 6 and verse 44 said, no man can come. That means no man has the ability by himself. No man can come unto me except or unless the Father which has sent me draw him. Another power must take the initiative in this raising up. Therefore, the Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, set your affection on things above, for ye are dead. Dead to one thing, been made alive to something else. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear in glory. I'll tell you one of these days, my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns the second time without sin unto salvation, the same voice that spoke to a stormy sea over there, that same voice will speak again one day. And the same power that stilled the raging sea, that same power will raise from the dead in an obedience that only God Almighty can command. It takes that same spirit and power to raise a dead body from the narrow limits of the tomb. Same power. Same power that it takes to born a sinner into divine life. It takes that same power to get him out of the grave on the resurrection day. Same power. Isn't that wonderful today? He says, and when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, today, have you ever felt like in your life that there's something down deep in your soul that just identified with the Lord Jesus, that there's something down deep in your soul that is there, not because of what you've done or what you said, because you signed the right card, because that you've done all of these things? I'll tell you right now, there came a time in my life that when the Lord dealt with me in a special and wonderful way. Do you know what? I went to church, and there was an old preacher there, Brother Stewart, and he started preaching, and so I was there that particular day, and I was interested in the church and in the gospel, but I tried my best to be something else but a Primitive Baptist. I really did. I did my dead level best. But you know, I went to hear Brother Fred Stewart preach, and he took his text on me. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? Take his text on you? He took his text on me, and it made me mad. Made me mad. I didn't like it at all. And I said, if I ever get out of here, I won't be back. And so I went home, and I began to study, and I couldn't get around it, couldn't get over it, couldn't get under it, and come find out the only place I could get in relief was go back to the place I got disturbed at. And so I went back to the place I got disturbed at, and I saw those folks getting out of the car, and we drove up on the ground down there, and we didn't have any air conditioning in the house back then, and the house was full, and they were singing out of the Lloyd hymn book, and some of y'all don't know what that is, but we do. But this is what they were singing: did thou, dear Jesus, suffer shame and bear the cross for me? I'll tell you right now, my friend, joy flooded my soul. And that particular day, I united with the church. And I'll tell you, I left a burden back there that's never bothered me again. I laid something down back there under the influence of the Holy Spirit and through the preaching of the gospel that's never bothered me again. But I've been burdened a lot, all right. I really have. But I'll tell you, that's never bothered me again. But I'll tell you this today, my friend, when God unveiled the truth, and I was able to see the blessed Lord who both died, rose, and revived. Oh, what a great day that was. I'll tell you today that when you're able to see that, and I say this in all kindness, if salvation by grace ever one time makes sense to you, nothing else will. Amen. Nothing else will. And Paul began to preach that here, and oh, what a great and wonderful experience that was. Now in Titus chapter 2, give me 5 minutes. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, Paul teaches here, and he says this. He says, for the grace of God. Now, the grace of God does three things. It brings salvation, education, and expectation. All right? Brings salvation, education, and expectation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. He didn't say the grace of God that offered salvation. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now, here's the education. Teaching us. Somebody says, well, preacher, I tell you, if I believe what you did, I'd just go out and have my fill of sin. If you believe like I did, you'd already have your fill of sin. Amen? Amen. Anybody tell you sovereign grace, give them a license to sin, don't know what sovereign grace is. Amen. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now here's the education, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You see, now that's what grace teaches you. The grace of God, listen, the same grace that saves my soul changes my life. The same grace that saves my soul changes my life. Now, there are folks in this world that don't have any changes. Psalms 55:19 says so. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. They're the class of people that have no changes. But I'll tell you this, for you as the child of God who have been born from above, I've had some of my own brethren try to tell me that when one is born from above, there's not any difference in him after he's born again. He is when he is born again. I'll tell you right now, my friend, I believe that when God borns you of his Holy Spirit, raises you from a death in sin to a life in Christ, there's a difference in your life. Amen. Yes, sir. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Looking, you see, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back, but we ought to look for him, you know what? Yeah. We ought to live a looking life. Looking for, and notice the terminology that Paul uses now, looking for, and he says, looking for that blessed hope. I would imagine that Primitive Baptists are misunderstood on the word hope as anything I know of. You know, when somebody talks about hope, well, brother, you know, I mean, if I didn't know all I had was hope, you know, I mean, you know, you go through all that rigmarole, you know. Let me tell you, brother, hope is not a dream. Hope is not a wish. But hope is expectation that God is going to fulfill his promise. And that's Christ, amen? 1 Timothy 1:1 said, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. What more assurance could you have than to have Christ as your hope? The Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Colossians 1:23 says, the mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar people. Now, let me just give you this, and I'm not going to charge you anything, but when somebody talks about a peculiar people, that doesn't mean that you're strange. Now, there's some of us that are strange. I don't want you to miss that. There's some of us that are a little bit strange. Some of us are a little bit odd. Mama used to say, when she's talking about somebody, she'd say, well, he's kindly peculiar. Y'all ever heard that? Kindly peculiar. A little bit odd. A little bit off center some way or another. But the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You know why you're peculiar? Because you're redeemed. That's right. That's right. Yes, sir. Because you're redeemed. Let me tell you something, my friend. Some folks says they got a hope-so religion. Somebody says we got a no-so religion. We ought to have a say-so religion, you know? Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. Thank God tonight, my friends, if you're risen with Christ, you have the ability to say so. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, I love that better than I ever have. I love that grand doctrine better than I ever have. Somebody says, preach, I tell you, my daddy, bless his heart, when he was dying with cancer, I went by there one night to get him to go to church, and I thought he might feel like riding to church with me, and I went by there to get him, and he was in the bed, and he couldn't go. And I said, Dad, I said, would you like to go to church with me tonight? And he said, I'd love to go, but he said, I just can't make it. He said, I'd love to be there tonight. I said, you know about what you're going to hear when you go, don't you? He said, yeah, but I want to hear it one more time. Bless your heart tonight, I'll tell you, I want to hear it one more time, don't you? One more time. Thank God tonight, my friend, here's an old story that never gets old. Here's an old story called the gospel of Christ, called the glorious gospel, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. I'll tell you, it's a story that never gets old. Why? Because you're risen with Christ. And that wonderful, blessed story is yours to enjoy today as you seek God who hath raised you up and given you something by grace that you could never attain on your own. May God bless you tonight to seek those things which are above, because you are first risen with Christ. Thank you, and may God bless you, Brother Ron.